We pray. Heavenly Father, you who author each new day, you who greet us each morning in mercy anew, you who have a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, guide us ever onward through the power of your holy word, that we might live for you in your grace and truth and proclaim your name from the hilltops, all to the glory of your holy name, in Christ our Savior. Amen. Wow, my last sermon. And all you people are here. Oh, the pressure is on. This better be good. A little voice inside of me says, ooh, razzle and dazzle and say something unforgettable. Then a wiser voice inside of me just kind of recites the words of the Apostle Paul. I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, not with wise and persuasive words. I resolved to know nothing while I am among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so we focus our attention not on the messenger, as sparkly and witty as his words may be, but rather on the gospel message, the light which God has caused to shine in our hearts, the knowledge of God's grace displayed in the face of Christ. My last sermon will be much like my very first sermon, focusing on Jesus. The story is told about Vladimir, a concert pianist with a unique gift and ability to pour such love into each and every note he played. Why, he made grown men cry as they listened to their very favorite pieces all anew, with depth and insight and power and beauty, all through this love that he was able to pour into his music. Vladimir was giving piano lessons to his son, Dmitri, training him to follow in his footsteps. And finally came the night of Dmitri's premiere performance. Ooh, the concert hall was sold out. The musical world was all a mutter. Would the gift of love from the Father transfer over to the Son? Vladimir himself rented a booth in the balcony in the back, just in case his son's performance was disappointing. He thought then he could run to the back of the box and cry without anyone noticing. The night came. The audience came in and scurried to their seats. The lights dimmed and Dmitri walked out on stage. For an hour, the beautiful melodies and the rolling thunder of the chords filled the concert hall until the final notes faded away in thin air. Vladimir jumped up from his chair. He threw his hand over his mouth and he ran to the back of the booth. He burst into tears, but not tears of sorrow, tears of joy, because the love of the Father was there present in the music of the Son. God cries tears of joy over you, because he sees his love in your hearts and in your lives. Paul commended the Colossians because this gospel love was in their hearts and in their lives. And so I commend you because God's gospel love is in your hearts and in your lives too. Paul writes, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. Today, together, we marvel at what the gospel is doing in us and through us. If we are having trouble recognizing how God's good news has totally transformed us as people, creating us anew into people that we could never have been on our own, then what we need to do is look at our sins. The lust or greed or violence of which we are so ashamed and of which we so deserve God's judgment and wrath. Imagine what kind of people we would be if instead of seeking God's forgiveness for our wicked words and our angry tempers, we would consider all of our sins, even our lying and our selfishness, as normal behavior. It's just what people do. We would feel no need for forgiveness. Then we would glory in our very shameful life. They would be expressions of our independent lifestyles. They would be our ticket to hell. Jesus comforts our repentant hearts as he moves us to marvel at what the gospel is doing in us and through us. Even though Paul never started this congregation of Colossians, and he wasn't their pastor at that moment, he said that he had heard of their faith and their love. He writes, "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people." That's interesting. How would these poor believers have such a stout trust in everything God had said and such an exuberant love for all the brothers and sisters in the faith that even Paul would have heard about it? Well, Paul himself points to how this miracle came among them. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. And so it is with us today. Through the power of the gospel, God has given birth in our hearts to a sure hope. A sure hope of what is waiting for us in heaven. Marvel at how God's simple gospel message has created an immovable trust in all that God has said in our hearts and lives, and a compelling love for all the brothers and sisters in the faith. That simple gospel message is how Jesus, even by God's definition of the term, was a perfect child and also a flawless adult, never ever committing a sin once, all for us. And that gospel is how the Father punished Jesus for all people's love affair with sin and their hatred toward God. That glorious gospel message is how Jesus' heart, once stilled in death, beats again. And his lungs, once motionless in the tomb, breathe again. Breathe again in victory for us. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of the power of God for the salvation of all people. We also are not ashamed of the gospel of God. Rather, we marvel at what the gospel is doing in us and through us. The story is told of Chuck's wedding day. Chuck was remarkably common, he did not excel or even have strong ability for anything. Chuck himself wondered and questioned, how could his fiancée, Grace, ever fall in love with him? Grace was truly exceptional at everything in life. She was knockout beautiful, an intelligent accountant. She was humble and kind, a kind friend to everyone she met. And best of all, she was a Christian right down to the marrow of her bones. Chuck asked his father on his wedding day, how can she truly love me? We are so mismatched. Chuck's father was a straight-talking, no-nonsense railroad engineer. He told Chuck, that's easy to understand. Ever since you were born, I've been praying to the Lord to bring a woman like Grace into your life and heart to be your wife. God gives us miracles we don't deserve. Now I'm praying, Chuck, that he will turn your heart into a husband worthy of Grace's love. What do you think, son? Will God give me a second miracle? What do we think? Will God give us another miracle? What do we pray for? What miracle do we ask God for our children, for ourselves, for our members here at Faith Lutheran Church? Maybe Paul's prayer could find its way into our hearts and onto our lips. Paul prayed for his beloved Colossians. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Throughout these last 37 years, and really from the very beginning of this congregation, we have continually prayed for these blessings to be ours and work to grow in living for God. As God calls for us to live in his power and for his purpose, we once again marvel and what the gospel is doing in us and through us. Paul teaches us to pray to the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit to unleash his gospel into our hearts in its full measure through the word and sacraments in order to grow our faith, to fill us with God's wisdom, and to give us an understanding of what God's will is for our lives. Then we will have strength from beyond ourselves, strength created by that gospel in our hearts and lives. God's good news is a pipeline through which God flows his grace into our hearts and lives. And God reminds us that his grace is sufficient for all of our needs, because his power is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, when we are weak with need or sorrow or grief or sickness, then we are strong, strengthened and upheld in God's gospel grace. God gives us strength so that we can accomplish His will for our lives, His purpose for us. What is that work? Well, Paul writes, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. If you think about it, us sinners are so mismatched with Jesus' grace and holiness, and yet He calls us brothers and sisters, washed clean in His blood. In our opinion, how important is it for us to live a life worthy of the Lord, to please Him in everything we do? Is it the number one priority in our life? And if not, why not? Is something truly more important than living a life worthy for the Lord? Despite all the hardships and persecution and pain and trials and trouble that Paul endured, would we say that Paul had a blessed life or a miserable life? I think we would say he had a blessed life. In every step, with every pain, in every decision, Paul walked side by side with the Lord Jesus, obeying Him, praising Him, and therefore lived to please God. Is that not a blessed life? I think it is safe to assume with Paul that he never regretted living a life worthy of the Lord, even when the Romans were cutting off his head. That blessed life, that life worthy of the Lord, is there for us in the gospel. Long before I came to this, to Faith Lutheran, this congregation, and long after I leave, this congregation will continue to give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the holy people in the kingdom of light. This family of believers has seen easy days and hard days, and through it all, we focus our faith on the one who has qualified us, given us everything we need to be God's holy children. Children with an inheritance, the paradise of heaven. Therefore, in easy days and in hard days, we give joyful thanks to our Father for His love, His forgiveness, and His all-powerful gospel. For 37 years, we have fed on God's word together and grown in His grace together. It has been my privilege to serve you and to serve with you all these years. And God still has plans for us. Plans to prosper us with a future fashioned by His love. A future filled with hope because of the power of His grace in our hearts and lives and congregation. To God be the glory in all of our coming and going until we find ourselves home in heaven. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, our times are in Your hands. Use us, our energies, our time, our power, our ability to think, all that we are and all that we have, to work Your good and gracious will in us and through us. You have claimed us to be Your own, and as Your children, we rejoice to be in Your family. Guide us ever onward until life everlasting. In Christ our Savior, amen.